All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we're going to be discussing something known as FOMO. I love FOMO. It just rolls off the tongue so well.
Yeah, FOMO. I'm sure everybody knows what that means, but I guess we can.
All right,
if not, so, you'll just have to just listen.
That's
just
right.
Wait.
That's right. We're not going to tell you right now. We have a great guest who's going to be joining us shortly. She is a copywriter. She's a digital marketer. She has her own agency, and she works with some really cool brands, including craft beer brands. So we're going to be talking about some of her work. Yeah. Anytime you mention that, that's like a
dream. Living the dream. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
It's almost as good as having a podcast and drinking beer while you're doing it.
That's right. We are living the dream every Friday to be able to talk to guests like this.
Yes.
All right, so I don't know. I think she actually does have a beverage. So should we introduce her? Because she is waiting in the green room.
She is. Hold up your beverage if you have one. Megan, looks like you nodded your head. There you
yes.
go.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
She does have one, so we might as well.
That's like the key to open up the green room right there whenever our guest holds up a beverage. Let's see here. All right, here we go. We have Megan. I'm going to say this is Goldwasser. 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 It could be Goldwasser, but she will correct us. I'm going to give her a little introduction here. She is, as I mentioned earlier, she's a copywriter, digital marketer, and she is the founder of York Street Creative. I like that name. Her passions and portfolio include storytelling, photography, videography, internal, external communications, graphic design, all sorts of things, social media, branding. Her interest and expertise occupy a diverse space. She works a lot, like I said, some of her clients, they're kind of range from breweries to eateries to fashion startups. So she's going to be sharing a little bit about her background. I'm excited to hear. And with that said, Megan, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Well, we got to give you a round of applause.
There you go.
Oh, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Another interesting tidbit, and I forgot to mention this with Sean. He's got our little ticker scrolling down at the bottom. I love that.
We're getting fancy around here.
So, Megan, I noticed and I found this off of your LinkedIn page. You are a graduate of the University of Georgia, UGA.
What? I am.
What?
Yes, I am a proud graduate.
Oh.
So if I'd have known that early enough, I would have had the glory, what is it, the fight song queued up, because Sean and I both root for the Dogs during football season. So
excellent. As should everyone.
You held up a beverage. I'm assuming that beverage is a craft beer.
A craft beer.
All right.
It is.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very nice.
So we're going to
get our ticker in case you didn't know.
No, I'm thrilled to be able to do a client plug here too. Getting to work with a craft brewery really is living the dream. And we actually, you'll see me try this for the first time, which is very exciting. This is called, it's fun. I got to name it, which is also really fun. It's called a flat white. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it a summer porter, but really it is, a blonde ale, it's a nitro blonde ale. So I am excited to try it. It is a, it's 5%.
I mean, to get to name a beer, like that is the pinnacle of success, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what else you could ask for. I mean, that just seems like, I mean, other than a nice fee for naming it, I mean, you probably want that as well, but that's pretty cool that you got to name a beer. So
well, you not only, you get to rate it too on our show. So you say this is the first time, right?
It's the first time. So hopefully it's not terrible. That would be awkward. So we'll,
So you didn't taste it before you named it?
That's a great question. So I know, isn't it weird? I know we market these things and come out with the script well before the beers are finalized. So that is why. So you're going to see me try it. I get all the ingredients. I have a chat with the guys who make it ahead of time. So I have some idea.
So it's kind of like writing there's a couple copywriters. I think, I can't remember who it was, told me this, but Ted, what's his name? Old guy. dead guy, I think, actually now. But anyway,
Ted the dead guy. About,
yeah, dead Ted. He always talked about writing the order form first so that you knew exactly what you were writing towards instead of saving the order form for last when you were all out of energy and everything else. So I guess that's kind of what you did. You kind of named it first that's so you could write towards and build towards the name.
But. Exactly.
Do you get any creative input on the design?
I do, and I don't design them myself, but I do get to work with designers who are so talented, and that's fun too, you know, getting to go back and forth with them about, all right, here's the vision, and here's what the brewers are thinking, and here's what inspired them, and, you know, we want, you know, a giant spaceman holding a flag, and, you know, on Saturn, and we're calling it Space Trip, and it's a blast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge part of selecting a beer, especially one that you don't know a whole lot of. Sean and I talk about this a lot. Sometimes we pull things off the shelf based on the design, right? It's like, that looks cool.
Sure. Sure. Our most, one of the more recent beers that we came up with, we knew we needed to come out with something for 4th of July. It's a 6-pack. We want it to be fun. It's a lager. We named it Murica. I got to name it. So apostrophe, all capitals, Murica. And it is a bald eagle with a mullet with some good looking sunglasses and a bandana. That's and it's awesome. Just that big old American flag wrapped all the way around that it. And it's gone.
So, oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Who's going first?
Oh,
we got to let our guest go first.
Absolutely. So ladies first.
Megan, how do you, so correct me on my pronunciation of your last name. Is it was a Vosser? Is it a V?
Vosser. It is Goldwasser. Okay. Yes.
All right. I was trying but to Germanize the name.
I appreciate the cultural appreciation though. That's very nice. Thank you. My husband will appreciate it really.
Is so he German? Does he come from German roots?
Yes. Well, German Jewish. It's really more of a Jewish last name, but yes, from of German descent. Yes. Sure. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
So show us your beer and tell us a little bit about it.
I jumped the gun here with the description, but this is the label that we worked on. That was just so much fun to do, and it's metallic. You can't really see it in there, but it's a flat white. It's a nitro blonde ale, and it's supposed to be kind of a refreshing summer stout. So I hope it's good. You're going to watch me.
What's the IB? So, well, you can't drink it yet. We got to toast and everything first. So you got to, so give us what is IBUs, ABV? Give us a little,
So it's a 5%er. Okay. And I wrote the description. So I'll give you some insight into that too. Oh, cool. The flat white blonde ale. It's like the coffee drink, but better. Brewed with barrel aged coffee and vanilla and infused with honey blonde and cold brew. You can't get bored drinking this beer.
I like it.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's right up our alley.
Point.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
If it's good, we hope it's in one of the assortments that, samples.
What's the what's the company? The brewing company?
Back Bay Brewing Co.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I looked them up. They are not in Texas. So
I know. So is that
that's North Carolina, right?
We are in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Virginia.
But we distribute all the way down to Florida and up to Maryland, but East Coast.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
All right, Sean, what do you got?
Well, I've got a Chocolate Cherry Yeti Imperial Stout. So it's a Yeti pulling a thing of cherries. So this is a
nine. Can they use that name? I guess they can. I mean, because a Yeti is.
Well, because Yeti's a thing. It's not actually.
Right. Exactly.
And I assume the font would have to be different than Yeti coolers and stuff like that. But so this is from, Great Divide Brewing Company out of Denver, Colorado. This is part of they got me with a gift set and the free glass.
Oh yeah.
Gift set. So this is one of those. Chocolate Cherry Yeti is another decadent offering in our revered Yeti series. We've tweaked the top bitterness for this special release and then added sweet and sour cherries and cacao. The roasty malt backbone of Yeti melts perfectly with the cherries and cacao to make this one smooth sipper. A Yeti in a cherry orchard can be a great thing. So there you go.
Do you feel like decadent is overused in beer copy? I see it all the time.
It's funny you should say that. There are a handful of buzzwords that our brewers in particular are just sick of. Decadent. Maybe not something I would use.
Sure.
But I can see that being used too often.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what's there's another one here that was, I don't remember. Yeah. Decadent roasty is another one.
Yeah.
Which I know is kind of a description, but it is roasty, malty, you know, all those things can be.
Some of those you just start to tune out over time because you read so much of it. So I'm sure you always got to be coming up with new stuff there.
Yeah. It's fun though. You know how that goes. It's a fun exercise.
All right, Jonathan, what you got over there?
Okay, I've got a Samuel Smith and Taddy Porter. This is a the old brewery Tadcaster. So I've had a Samuel Smith, one of their chocolate porters on before. Yeah. So this is the famous Taddy Porter brewed with, now here's, listen to this. This is, I don't know how great this copy is, but it's brewed with well water. It says the original well at the old brewery sunk in 1758, and is still in use with hard well water being drawn from 85 feet underground. So that's pretty cool.
Not a very deep well, actually. That's a pretty shallow well.
Okay. Anyway. Well, yeah, 85 feet. So you're thinking about 85 feet. Yeah, that's really not that deep.
Yeah, I guess it depends on where you are. Like here, they got to go pretty deep for water, but
maybe in England, it's a little different. I don't know.
Yeah.
So let's see. Malted barley, roasted malt, yeast, and hops fermented in stone Yorkshire squares. Does anybody know what a Yorkshire square is?
Nope.
Not a clue.
Is that like a location? Sounds like a location to me. I don't know.
Probably so. Yeah. Let's see. Ingredients, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. What is this? Oh, it's only 5% ABV. Man.
Wow. That's a fancy unusual bottle for 5% beer.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed.
Seems like a waste of gold foil to me. I don't know. It is.
See,
I think Modelo's probably got higher content than that.
Yep. Again, they fool you with the packaging. I mean, that's where it starts. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we have our toast. So, cheers.
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 And you know what? I forgot to even pour mine. So, I got this fancy glass. I didn't even pour it.
You were following Megan's lead and just straight out the can.
So, look at that. Megan, look at that fancy glass. Right. And it's pretty dark. So,
yeah.
Oh, wow. There is like no head on that, Sean.
Yeah. No, it's.
Wow. Oh, wait. Hold up that glass again. I've got to see that.
It says, I believe.
Oh, nice.
Bigfoot. All right.
That's great merch, too. That's a good conversation starter. Love that.
Yeah. I love the glasses in a, like a beer kit or liquor. Like I'm always a sucker for those. Yeah. Like the Jack Daniels is not the best bourbon, but they always have a gift set with their glasses and stuff.
So sorry.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was us for
no.
podcast foul.
So sorry. I know. I'm so sorry.
You have a boo on there, Jonathan, on your soundboard.
All right, so moment of truth. What is so you got to name this? You get to rate it now. So
I do, and it's
one of five pints.
Five pints, okay.
Five being the best.
You know, I am pleasantly surprised. I was worried it was going to be too heavy. You know, summer stout just sounds like it's still heavy,
right?
It's not. It's light and refreshing, but you get that coffee without too much bitterness. It's pretty good. Gosh, I'm going to give it a.
You can do decimals too.
Oh, okay, good. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Wow! Nice. All right,
it's pretty good.
It's solid.
It's pretty good.
It's like an A. That's borderline. That's not an A plus, but that's an A.
So it is. Nice. It feels like the copy got it close too. I'm patting myself on the back a little bit with that 4.5. I felt like I communicated it okay. It's pretty good.
So good. Let's just hypothetically speaking, if this had gone south, like you tasted it, you had this this like bitter face. Would that have caused you to change the, like maybe modify the copy a little bit?
Oh, gosh. For next time. Oh, yeah. Steer clear of this one. It's not as good as you think. That's a
great question. Hey, well, you don't have to make it sound bad, but you could you know, maybe you could use some.
Well, Jägermeister, that's their thing, right? They talk about how bad it is. Yeah. That's the whole shtick of Jägermeister.
Yep.
Like how bad it is. How awful it tastes.
I'm such a sucker for that too. I think that marketing is so funny. You give me a pun or something that's contrary and I'm there. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's the Achilles heel kind of method there to show your weakness and capitalize on it. So, all right, I guess I'll go next.
Yeah.
So this of the ones I've had so far, this is the best and it's not as like sweet, which makes sense. It's only 9.5% instead of, I think the others were around 12. So I'm going to give this, a 4.25.
4.25.
Yeah. Very solid. Good. Yeah, I mean, it's more what I would expect for like an Imperial Stout. Mm-hmm. Not so when they get too high up in the alcohol, they start getting like cough syrup. Yep. So this is the perfect balance. Does have a little cherry flavor. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not a summer beer, but it's like winter here in Austin. Like it's like 78 and raining. It's like winter here. Like it's, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe not that cool, but maybe 80. I don't know.
Perfect day for a stout. A surprise stout day in the middle of summer.
That's right. All right, so I'm going to give this one the Taddy Porter. So I kind of cheated. I went ahead. I looked over at Beer Advocate. They give it a 93 rating. So maybe that influences me a little bit.
Well, you know it does. Anytime a high number is going to influence you. We've talked about this on the show.
I know. See, I accidentally stumbled across it because I was just trying to find some information on it, and I see that score. But I'm going to give this, I mean, it's okay. I'm going to play like I've never seen that and just try to be neutral, which I'm not, but I'll give it a 4, probably 4.1. That sounds like a reasonable score for this one. It's it's less on the ABVs than I thought. So a little disappointed there, but it's got the aftertaste isn't great. So, but it's okay. Nothing special. Yeah. I probably actually gave it a higher rating than I should have. It probably deserves about a 3.5.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So that dang framing and anchoring worked again, man.
That's right. So I'm giving it a 3.5. I'm changing my score. 3.5. 3.5.
Don't bow to the pressure.
Your advocate, you're not going to influence me.
Okay. Dang neuroscience. All right.
All right, Megan. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. Why don't you, before we get into the topic of fear, we kind of teased it, FOMO, Sean. What is FOMO?
I was trying to come up with a clever, funny acronym, but I can't on the fly. I should have had that prepared. Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. We've heard a lot about that in real estate lately, but it's gone crazy. Yeah. But you've been using this in your marketing. But before we get into that, why don't you share a little bit about your background? What got you into copywriting, digital marketing, and ultimately starting your own business?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And whenever anybody asks me what I do, and I really need to work on my elevator pitch because most of the time it's depends on the day, which is how fun. I love that I get to say that. But I went to the University of Georgia where I studied at their journalism school, and I learned I did not want to be a journalist and wanted to pursue writing instead. I love copy and I love just the art of writing. And it's funny cause I'm dyslexic. So, you know, reading copy is sometimes challenging and, you know, checking for, you know, spelling mistakes. I don't know what I would do without spell check, but, went to school for it, learned how to write more effectively and, networked and knew that I wanted to do something in the wheelhouse of professional copywriting and, you know, got linked
So let me back up there. So you actually went to school for copywriting?
I did.
That is awesome. I didn't have that. At least I didn't know about it when I was in school. That
would have
probably saved me a lot of headache. But anyway, that's cool. I know like it used to be like if you wanted to be a copywriter, you had to go to like Chicago or New York.
Yeah.
And there weren't many places that taught it, but it's cool to hear that more and more places are now teaching it. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really was an awesome, awesome experience. I loved college. I had so much fun and the classes were great. And I really did get so much out of it, which not everybody says, but I'm actually using my degree, which is fantastic. So I had that experience and was really hungry for the work in college and found some opportunities where I started writing for the Mars Company. You might have heard of them. They make M&Ms and Snickers, but they also make pet food and they also own Wrigley gum and they make all kinds of things. And it's great. They're expanding their portfolio right now. And they were when I was in college. And so they needed someone to do all kinds of writing for them. And I got to, which was just so much fun. And that led to more writing, ghost writing specifically, which is my favorite. I love writing for people. And I actually still do this project. I've been doing it for years. I ghost write a banquet for the CEO of Children's Hospital of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I got to experience that and interview 85 nurses in a handful of months and write copy about how wonderful and great they are and, you know, get to hand it over to the CEO to present. That was a moment, the first time that happened. And, I loved it. It's just so gratifying, you know, being able to write copy that other people get to hear and that communicate value or that, you know, evoke emotion is just, that's incredible. And it's a blast. But I pivoted, and started working in the nonprofit space. So I worked for a small private school here in Virginia Beach for several years. And it was again, a blast, just so much fun. You get to, you know, wrangle high schoolers at the same time you're taking pictures of them and you're, you know, promoting the school and, you know, promoting education's great. It was so much fun. And that's kind of where I decided that I wanted to go out on my own only because I loved wearing all those hats. I loved being able to be the photographer and the videographer and the person who was doing social media and, you know, was writing our annual report and, you know, kind of being a spokesperson for the school too sometimes. I think that was a blast. And I realized, hey, I could do this for lots of people. I don't just have to do this in education and, you know, I can be more flexible. I'm a mom, so having a toddler, having that kind of flexibility is also such a virtue that I couldn't say no. So last year, among the wildness of 2020, my husband is in the Navy and he was deployed and I'm home with the babe and I'm thinking, okay, what are we doing? Where are we going?
Right.
Am I really going to do this? And I did, and it was great. And it's been super advantageous. I think, especially among all the craziness of 2020, so many big corporations decided to move away from bigger agencies and move to the smaller guys because we're cheaper.
Well, that's your fault. You're cheaper. That's not
exactly.
We should have a separate conversation about that.
Right. Exactly. Maybe I need to go back and look.
You
at
just want
to
be more nimble. You want to be more nimble, not cheaper. Yeah.
But, yeah. Right. That's right. Exactly. That's what it is. I'm more competitive. We're gonna go with there that. I'm more competitive. So, so it worked out great. It's been, you know, I'm a year in, year and change and to full-time with my own company. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I've got to hire content creators for social media. I run marketing for a former Navy SEAL who's a life coach now and does executive coaching and has written his own guided journal. And he's a blast to work with. And I get to work with fashion startups and big corporate and healthcare and breweries. And it's really fun.
The Navy SEAL, can you, you don't have to mention his name, but.
He would love it.
I'm happy to mention it. You know, we've had a guy that's a Navy SEAL that's kind of doing a lot of coaching now, but it may not be the same guy. But.
Cool. It's Dan Luna.
Okay. Not the same guy. But that name sounds familiar. Dan Luna.
Okay. Well, he's worth looking into.
Okay.
Dan's an impressive guy. You should check out his social media.
It sounds like one of those names. It's just like one of those, it's just a simple name. Like it's something about it, the rhythm of it or something.
Dan Luna.
You know, Dan Luna. It sounds like it's like a little familiar, but not quite, you know, unique, but familiar. I like
it. It's fun to market.
Very cool.
Yeah, I bet.
So of all your clients, what's the best, what do you have the most fun with in terms of copywriting and doing marketing work for?
That's a pretty easy answer. Don't tell the rest of them, but the craft beer business is a blast. It is just so much fun, and getting to write this copy, and it is a fast paced environment. We are constantly doing something new. We come out with a new beer every week, sometimes every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's quick, and you have to be ready.
Yeah. So how much copy is there? Like, you know, there's only so much copy on a can. I mean, is this similar to like catalog copy, where it's a lot of 50 words and less type copy?
Yeah. No, it's a good question. It is. It's quick and it's short usually. So all of the descriptions for all of the beers is something that falls under my domain, naming them, but also website copy. The brewery that the client of mine is actually its own beverage company, and they're starting their own umbrella company. And so I am also in charge of their website, all of that copy and all the marketing that goes into it. All the descriptions that I write to that are longer go up on social media. So anything that is forward facing that looks like website or, sure. or on the can is me.
So yeah. Back Bay Brewing, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go check out your copy while you're.
Oh gosh! Well, and it's funny I say that. So I'm writing their new website that doesn't have copy up on it yet because we're going through the editing process, and a lot of the copy on their current stuff I didn't write. So I've been in their space less than a year.
That was a nice out.
Right, I know. Please don't. Yeah. Right. Exactly. I've been with them for less than a year. And so haven't gotten to do as much of that, but I'm looking forward to it.
So we have on our listeners, we have people that are in sales, we have people that are copywriters, we have marketers, things like that. Specifically for the copywriters, because we have a lot of people who are either, you know, aspiring or kind of maybe they're dabbling part-time, some of them are full-time. It would be easy to think that there's not a lot of copy needed in like a little niche, like, which is no longer the little niche, but like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of copy, mm-hmm. but like, talk a little bit about like just how much copy is required, because it's everywhere. And I think people overlook it.
Yeah.
And how important it is, whether you own a business, whether you're trying to be a copywriter or you are a copywriter, the opportunity is, I mean, speak to that a little bit and then we'll get into the FOMO stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that no one talks about and no one thinks about. How often you read something that inspires you to purchase it or inspires you to keep reading, which is what we want. It is everywhere and it is nuanced and it has to be. And I think the reason people probably don't know is that there are good copywriters out there who write copy that you don't think about and you're not thinking you're reading something. So with the brewery, I've talked to, you know, it's the labels, it's the website, it's social media, it's everywhere we write. I mean, it's press releases behind the scenes that need to be written well. Even down to emails and newsletter copy. I do a lot of newsletter writing, and that has to, you know, that's a very specific kind of copywriting that has to, you know, do well. And so in that is a full-time job at a place like a brewery. Yeah. Some of my other clients, my fashion, you know, the fashion startup that I'm helping out, every piece of their website, every segment, everything needs a description. There are Q&A portions of their website that need to be written meticulously so that it's easy to read. Even captions on some of their videos. I mean, everything has copy on it. And so it is, copywriters are coveted. And I think people don't realize that as much as they should.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also it's important for like marketers and business owners to understand that even something as simple as captions could be better with quality copy.
Yeah.
Like it seems like something you could just throw away, right. But captions are one of the most read pieces of copy because they're under a image, like an Instagram, you know, those first two lines on your Instagram post are pretty important because that's either going to get them to read more or just scroll on. Sure. You know, obviously the image is important too, but, and then we're getting into video and all that stuff. But, so you write video scripts as well, speaking of video?
It's a good question. sort of, kind of. We'll go with yes. I've done it in, you know, a nonprofit space that I have to remind myself sometimes that even though it is, you know, on a shoestring budget, it's still a video script. Something that I got to write. Actually, funny enough, I finished up a commercial shoot today with Mark Leishman, the golfer. And he was a delight. And, you know, we're coming up with copy for him on the spot. You know, we're placing ads on the Golf Channel while he's in the Olympics. He has a beer through Back Bay Brewing called Leishman's that supports a foundation that he created called Begin Again. But going back to, I wanted to say, you know, for the aspiring copywriters, the amateurs who want to dig into it a little bit, my first few jobs were going to people's websites and getting in contact with them about how bad the copy sounded. I mean, I think it is such a great selling point to get in touch with someone and say, hey, you know, I was picking through your website, love what you have going on. I'd love to help you communicate that a little bit more effectively. Mm-hmm. I think that
you have to be careful because you don't know who wrote it, right? It may be the person you're talking to. So you got to use tact.
Yes.
Can't go, don't rush in with this sucks. That's probably not the best.
Yeah.
You got to use copy for that email.
No shaming there, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But like you said, there's a tactful way to say, listen, here's some things that I noticed, specific things that you can
improve. Here's how I would do it. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. Which I think is how Dan Kennedy got started. Yep. Like he just went and ripped off ads that he thought he could do better and he rewrote them and he's like, here's what you have. Here's what I would do.
Sure.
Which do you like better?
Yep.
Yeah.
And started his whole career.
That's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of like people with new alcohol brands, I don't know if you know Jonathan, but our previous guest, Phil K.M. Jones, whichever one it was, he started a new whiskey or bourbon brand.
Really?
So we may have to introduce you, Megan, to Phil.
Yeah.
Please do. That'd be great. That sounds like fun.
Get you into some harder stuff here.
That sounds great.
Move on to liquor here.
Yeah.
He started his own bourbon brand. He's kind of pushing it right now on Instagram. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Very cool.
So we may have to have him back on with his, see if he can ship us some bourbon.
Are you familiar with the Pete's Wicked Ale?
No,
back in the day. Okay. So it's no longer, we had the original founder of that. I mean, that goes back to the 80s where this guy, he was like one of the original before craft. Like before craft brewing started. I mean, he was one of the original craft brewers in the industry.
Yeah.
And
might be a good podcast for you to listen to.
Yeah.
I will go back. I got some more.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's transition over here to
FOMO.
To FOMO, because you sent us in your reply to our request, our desperate plea for content for our podcast. You're like, we could talk about FOMO. And I don't remember exactly what you said. So why don't you set it up, Megan, while we continue to drink?
Deal.
And you just kind of set up FOMO and what you would like to tell the people.
Yeah.
They're eager to hear about this.
Perfect. I mean, I'd love to share because there's plenty to go around, especially after this last year. I know I've touched on that already. So many of us were cooped up for so long. And even those of us who weren't, there weren't events going on. There was nothing to do. Everybody was home. And so that feeling, that fear, that and it's a deep fear of missing out on what is happening has really come in handy. Mm-hmm. in the last few months for us. Back Bay is, we have a tap room. We have two of them in the area. And one is this beautiful, it's on a farm. It's a beautiful big home that used to be a private residence. And we have big events and it is very easy to capitalize on the fact that people don't want to miss out by just handing them what we're doing.
Sure.
So, hey, Lagerfest is coming up. Mm-hmm. We're thrilled. We're going to have several people here with lots of different beers, and mentioning that there are going to be plenty of people there is something that gets plenty of people in the door. Mm-hmm. So knowing that it is going to be a larger event and the weather's going to be nice, is marketing enough? Mm-hmm. You know, praying to the weather gods, part of my strategy. And you know, so far so good, but backing up a little bit, I feel like the craft beer sphere in general, it's the cool kids club. I feel like, you know, there's this very, you know, cool in the know vibe about craft beer drinkers and pursuers, and people want to be like that. People want to have that experience and they want to try something new. And so marketing to those people can be tough. I think an overt call to action in a newsletter or in copy, you know, come out, you know, join us, this, you know, this giant be here is doesn't work. It doesn't work with these people. You know, it's a little bit more having that air of mystique is really effective, and and kind of laying the breadcrumbs for these craft beer lovers and saying, okay, we've got this cool new beer. It's got a great new label. No one's ever tried it. You should come be a part of this event.
Right.
And people flock. I mean, we have thousands of people come and try these beers, and they have them. We have our beers on pre-sale on Wednesdays and people can come pick them up on Fridays. And I mean, we have, especially in 2020, we had lines, I mean, around the block for people to just pick up a 4-pack. So in line with the events, the constant, you know, cranking out of new fun stuff, and we're not making a lot of it, is something that people don't want to miss out on. So
some of these are some of these beers limited editions that you're only making so many of, and then that's it.
Yeah. And most of them are. Okay. So here's our website. So this kind of gives you an idea, but a majority of our beers, are a one-time deal, or, you know, maybe we'll bring them back next year for, you know, a month. But, you know, most of the things that we produce, you know, we might make, I'm trying to come up with a good example, a recent example, but, you know, we might only make 60 cases of something. Sure. And if you're, you know, there are 24 beers in a case. So that gives you an idea. If we have a large event and we put out those 60 cases, they're gone in a weekend. And that's it. So, you know, we also have this exclusivity to our product. You know, people know it's not coming back, and it might be a super cool label with a, you know, a bald eagle with a mullet on it. Who doesn't want that at their house? So, you know, we kind of create this air of fun, and, you know, it's here while it lasts, but it's gonna get gone fast.
Yeah.
And it does. I mean, it's just a really cool.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
There's America. There she is. And, you know, and I think we might have, I might have grabbed a 6-pack on my way out today. So I think I saw 2 or 3 more behind me, but that's it. And that was a July 4th release. Mm-hmm. So that should give you some idea of people appreciate that, you know, we always have something new and something different, and it's not going to last.
Yeah.
And most people want to come to the farm and drink it with us, which promotes drinking more of it. So, you know, it's great. We've got so much diversity in our beer that,
that's cool.
You know, people want to be a part of it. It's really effective.
Yeah. So we've talked, several times. Let me undo this screen share, stop share. We've talked on here about, I think the new, there's a couple of things. One, demonstration is one of the most powerful forms of copy. Like if you can demonstrate a product, you know, and script that out, whether it's storyboarded out or whatever. You know, I mean, Bounty and Charmin and these other companies have been using demonstration for 50, 60 years, and it just keeps working. But the other thing is experiential marketing. And I love that you're talking here about how, and so many of the craft brews do this. They have some acreage, a place that you can go to and experience the beer, experience other people who like craft beers. And we have quite a few right around here, right outside of Austin where I'm at, that we'll go to. And it's kind of not a farmhouse. The farmhouse is really cool. It actually looks like a house I used to live in, but that kind of being not just tasting beer, but being completely enveloped by a feel and an experience with other people and probably some live music, I assume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like all that stuff is, it just, you know, that's what, one thing I will say about like the South that we don't do well is have these community, is don't have the community gatherings places like the Northeast does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Northeast is really good with their pubs and their taverns and all this kind of stuff. And I don't think the South does that as well, unless you count Hardee's on like a Saturday morning or something. Like, I don't know, or Waffle House at 2 a.m. Yeah.
There you go.
2 a.m. Waffle House, man.
Oh, there's nothing like it. But so we're
smothered
going to the beach.
And covered. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to the beach in a couple weeks, and my daughter's, because we're in Texas now, there's no Waffle House here. My daughter's so excited to go to Waffle House. So, because we're going to Florida. So, but yeah, I love how you can take craft brew and just make it so much bigger of an experience, mm-hmm. especially because most craft brew is so local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's like, yeah, we could just go down to wherever, you know, and spend 4 or 5 hours listening to live music and drinking beer and driving home.
Yeah.
Good plan. Yeah. Good plan. So yeah, it's cool to be able to work that in. And I think more and more companies are doing that, where you can get the experience. And it's just now the demand for that is just, like right. you said, through the roof. Like I heard that this summer is like, it's setting all kinds of records for travel. Like people are just, they gotta get out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, we have tourists come through. We're a tourist destination anyway. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here in Virginia Beach, and I'm only a few miles from the North Carolina border, but we're not too far from the Outer Banks. So we have people coming right. from all over the place. Which is great. We love being able to share that experience with people.
And you have the military crowd that's just always transitioning and coming through. It's mostly Navy, but it's also, there's other bases there as well.
Yeah, we actually, Norfolk Naval Base is the largest naval base in the world. And that's here. So we have a huge population of military too, and they are excellent customers. That's pretty great too.
Jonathan and I can both attest that, yes, military is a very good alcohol customer for sure. Absolutely. We're both Army, not Navy.
So. Oh, all right. Yeah.
I know there's some Army bases in Virginia Beach, because I was stationed in DC, I would go down to Virginia Beach every once in a while because I had family there.
Yeah.
And there's a couple Army bases, small Army bases down there.
We got everybody.
Everybody's down there. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk specifically. I want to give the people some takeaways. Like, give us a couple examples of how you've used FOMO. Like maybe there's I know you've talked a little bit about it, but like, what's your thought process on how to do that? How to do it respectfully and not, you know, too manipulatively, because you know, you are manipulating a little bit, but to do it with respect and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be in the beer. It could be with any client.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think first and foremost, you have to understand when you're writing copy, and I know you both do, people are smart. You have to give them some credit. You know, they know what you're trying to do. You're a salesperson and they know what they're reading. Right. If they're reading a newsletter from you, they know that you want them to buy beer. And so I think the easiest way to do that is to steer clear of an ask. I think you don't ask them for anything. I think that you present like you have no expectations and that you're just inviting them to come be with you. And it is, when I say that to people, it really is fairly genuine. You know, yes, I absolutely want the best for my client. And yes, I want people to, you know, click on that link to go buy beer online. Yes, please. But making it funny is so much more effective than something generic and boring. So I have, I guess, a decent example on our newsletter, and the benefit of selling beer is that, you know, beer is not serious. I can be irreverent. I can be self-deprecating. I can be funny. I can be a little spicier than I would be, you know, with my healthcare clients. So things like, you know, I might stick a graphic in there. Let's say I've got all of our events and then, you know, our new releases, and I need to break it up. I'll stick something in there and the background is all clouds and it's beautiful. And the copy on it says, "You should buy beer online." And it's signed God, and people can click on it and go buy beer. And it's a funny, cute something that, you know, someone might look at and think, "Oh, that's cute. I wonder where that goes." So kind of mixing, you know, funny, cute imagery with that funny, cute copy, you know, is a great way to kind of cut through the crap. And just kind of show people, okay, you know what we're doing. you know what this is, but I'm going to make this as entertaining for you as possible. Sure. And they want to participate. It's that FOMO comes right back in of, you know, oh, this is funny. I bet someone else thought this was funny and they went to this link. I should do the same thing. And it's really effective.
So I'm curious because, you know, humor can be tough to pull off and copy sometimes. Images certainly help.